Now, if I can just mention to begin with that we often call this Sunday Christmas Sunday, in addition to Christmas Day. There is a tradition to call this Christmas Sunday. We know that some churches don't mention Christmas as such, or Easter come to that. They preach the truths of the gospel throughout the year, and we understand and respect our brothers in Christ. Our preference, though, is to see this as an opportunity to mark the coming of Christ, the gospel, into this world, to mark the details of the birth of Bethlehem and of the person of Christ, and that he was God and became the God-man and the Saviour of the world. In a particular way, we remember this in the Christmas season. And also as an opportunity, an occasion to invite friends and family to hear the gospel. And so therefore, we as a church mark Christmas Day and also this Christmas Sunday. And today, in both morning and evening services, we shall be looking at the Christmas theme. And as found here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 32, we shall be in this passage both morning and an evening. And here we see the angel of God approaching this young woman of the name Mary with remarkable and astounding news that she will give birth to the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. And there we see in verse 28 this greeting, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now, sadly, some suggest that these words, "Hail, favored one," which could be translated "full of grace," they suggest that Mary had surplus grace to give to others, as opposed to receiving grace from God. Well, certainly, the truth is this: she knew grace from God, and also she knew, in due course, grace of salvation of soul as well. All men, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, need God's grace. And the only way that any man can be saved is through Jesus Christ. And the only way Mary could be saved was through Jesus Christ. Even though she gave birth to the Savior, she needed Christ as her Savior. Just like David, the son of David, also he was the Lord of David as well, great David's greater son. Likewise here with Mary, Christ was the son of Mary, but Christ was also the Lord and Savior of Mary as well. And we need that same Savior. And this greeting here is all about Jesus Christ. Let's see some of the truths about our Savior here in these verses. And before we come to verse 32, just mark some of the expressions in verse 31, for example. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." And we're told in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, where the name is given to Joseph too. And the angel there says, "Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Can there be a clearer declaration? There can't be a clearer declaration than that, can there? "Jesus shall save his people from their sins." There we are told why Christ came, the mission of Christ, to save his people from their sins. His name is Jesus. What a name. What a great name, Jesus. But then we come to verse 32. And there are many things here. This Sunday evening, our focus will be the throne of David. But this Sunday morning, our focus will be that expression, the beginning of the verse, "He shall be great. He shall be great." And we shall consider some of the ways he shall be great. And to introduce this greatness, let's look at that expression there. "And shall be called the Son of the Highest." What a wonderful term that is. What a wonderful way to say the Son of God. The expression comes from Many of the titles of God in the Old Testament, the Most High God, we read in other parts. Christ was the Son of the Most High God. Christ was the Son of the Highest. He was the Son of God. And from that we learn he was already great. He shall be great, is our text. But there we learn he was already great. And this greatness continues into the future greatness, as we shall consider this morning. So he shall be great. Now some of this greatness has already been manifested and shown, because these words were spoken a while ago, 2,000 years ago, and many aspects of the greatness have already taken place. But some are still to take place. Whatever, that expression is so true. He shall be great. He shall be great. And to help us this morning consider the greatness of Christ, I want to mention those things I mentioned in the children's story. The three offices of Jesus Christ, of prophet, priest, and king. And those things help us, because this greatness in all those offices, prophet, priest, and king. He is the great prophet mentioned to Moses in Deuteronomy. He is the great high priest mentioned in Hebrews. And he is the King of Kings mentioned in Revelation. In all his offices, he shall be great. He is great. Our Savior does wonders, and he's great in all aspects. Kings are called great. Louis the Great, Llewellyn Vawr, Alfred the Great. But I'm sure if you had details of their lives, you would have many disappointments. No disappointment in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But here, first of all, let's consider him as prophet, his greatness as a prophet. Now, the Jews showed awareness of this prophecy of him being a prophet there in the feeding of the 5,000. After the feeding of the 5,000, we read in John 6, verse 14, and those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of truth, that prophet that should come into the world." And we read of the prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18, where the Lord says to Moses, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and to him he shall hearken." And again in the same chapter, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." That is the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the woman of Samaria referred to him as a prophet as well. In John 4, verse 19, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." In what ways was Christ like a prophet? In a number of ways. Some of the prophets did miracles and wonders, and Christ was great in that respect. Oh, the miracles and the wonders of Christ. There could not be more, and such a wide variety, showing his power over all things, and that he was indeed the Son of God. And also with prophets, they are often described as foretelling and forthtelling. Don't know whether you heard of that expression. The prophets foretell, that is, they foretell the future. They also forthtell. They speak, in other words. They declare, they preach. And it's true, isn't it? Prophets preach, they also predict. And indeed, Christ was great in all those ways. One of the proofs of a man being a prophet was whether his prophecies would come true. Christ was great in his prophecies, remarkable prophecies about himself and about many other things too. Many things have been fulfilled, and some to be fulfilled in some time yet to come. The prophets also foretold, not just foretold, foretold. And Christ was great in that respect. What a preacher our Savior was. He spoke the way of salvation. He was the Word. What a description of a preacher. He was the spoken word of the Father. He spoke the truth of God and the way of salvation. Indeed, in the most unique way, he was the truth and the way. There's no prophet like Jesus Christ in that way. And also, if you think of the prophets, we see references sometimes of them being filled with the Spirit. Well, our Savior was filled with the Spirit without measure. The great truths, the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Could there be a more powerful expression of a prophet? The truth himself in the Spirit without measure. He was great as a prophet. He was also great as a priest. In Hebrews, we are told that we have a great high priest. Now, the high priest in the temple or the tabernacle would enter the Holy of Holies. They would take the blood of sacrifice into that place. And there, on the Day of Atonement, once a year, would make sacrifice for the sins of the people, which is a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is a great high priest. He also goes into the heavenly Holy of Holies, and he takes, yes, blood of sacrifice, but the blood of sacrifice of himself as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He takes himself. We have here a most complete picture of Christ as the great high priest. He does it all, you could say. He's a great high priest. He does it all. He makes atonement for man's sins. He takes the atonement and offers it to God. There's no delegation here. He does it all. He is the sacrifice. He takes the sacrifice as the priest. It's a picture, I know. The great high priest, the Lamb of God. Christ is both. He takes himself as the great sacrifice. Great high priest, we view thee stooping with our names upon thy breast, says William Gadsby. Then also, in addition to his greatness as prophet, and his greatness as a priest, we also have his greatness as a king. And in Revelation, we read of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And language, of course, is a vehicle to lift up Christ. But language can only go so far. Language of this world will come short of the great glory and the truths of Jesus Christ. But here, notice the term. Language taking us as far as it can. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And here we see the kingship of Christ, a complete greatness. A double kingship, we could say. He is the universal king, has an universal kingship over all things. He also has a spiritual kingship as the head of the church. These two spheres of his kingdom, two aspects of his powers. He has an universal kingship over all things, but in a particular way, he is the king and the head of the church. And we can say, he is our king. The world can't say that, although he rules over them. But in a very special way in the church, he is our king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In his universal kingship, he has all power given him in heaven and earth. As he said himself, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. He subdues all his enemies. He is subduing them, will order all things for his purposes. And we know how difficult it is to bring order out of chaos in our workplaces. In many ways, we're doing that all the time, aren't we? Trying to bring order. Whatever your profession, trying to bring things into the right sequence and a logical way. In life, in the home also, trying to bring things together, whatever it might be. But think of the great task of this world, the wickedness, the evil of this world, to overturn it all to the glory of God. Oh, what supreme power he has over all. All power in heaven and earth, this universal, this cosmic kingship of Jesus Christ. But coming back to the thought of him being our king, what happened was this. We believed in him. He was our Savior. But you can't be a Savior alone. He must be a Savior and Lord. It is the conversion experience when we believe. We don't take half of Christ. We take all of Christ. He is our Savior and our Lord. He saves us and we obey Him. And He is our head. And as our head, He defends us and keeps us. He's also, another term, the great shepherd of the sheep. The greatness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See it, my friend, see it. See His greatness in all compartments of His life, person and work. See His greatness. He's a king and has a kingdom. We shall look this evening at the expression here, the throne of David. Just mentioned now, though, this throne of David is not a earthly kingdom, although it has some aspects of the world in it, but rather it is a spiritual kingdom and an eternal kingdom, the throne of David, a great rule of Christ. This world will see none like Him. He is the King of kings. He shall reign upon this earth. And of course, much of this glorious future, He shall be great. This speaks not just to now and this immediate context of our world and our lives and our history, but also to the new earth and new heavens. And there we read in 2 Peter, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there He will fill the new earth and new heavens with His glory, as we read in Revelation. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. He will be the glory and the light of this great kingdom. He will fill all heaven and all eternity with His glory. Think of the brightness and the glory of our Jesus Christ. All those terms we've had, those expressions are very important, very down to earth, they refer to us, but it goes beyond into the heavens. He fills all heavens and fills all eternity with His glory. This is the greatest greatness, isn't it? There's no greatness like this. As we speak of King of kings and Lord of lords, we can speak greatness of greatness, the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's bring these things together as we try to give expression to the gospel greatness we see in Jesus Christ. We think of His person and His work. That hymn we sang at the beginning, Mighty Christ from time eternal. A couple of lines there are helpful. Great my Jesus in His person, mighty when on Calvary dying. And here we see the purpose of it all. This greatness is focused on our salvation. It is ultimately to His glory, but in particular, it is focused on our salvation. It is His pleasure and delight to save men and women. And this greatness has a particular application to our souls. Great my Jesus in His person. And the hymn goes on to say, great as God and man is He. Here we see the attributes of Jesus Christ in His Godhead and His humanity. In His Godhead, He has infinite power. He is God Himself. The Son of God is co-equal in power and glory with the Father. Don't bring down His glory in any way. He's co-equal in His divinity, in power and glory, but also in His humanity. He has adorned our humanity with perfection. You know the mess you make of your life. And I know the mess I make of my life. Our weakness, we are so weak, aren't we? And we intend to do better, but we do worse. But here in our Savior, He adorns our humanity with perfection and more. And this divinity and humanity of Christ come together in our salvation in a particular way. He is man to represent us to the satisfaction of God. Man had sinned. God was good. Man had sinned. God must punish man for his sins. Christ became man to represent us. That's why He came into this world. But as God, He has infinite ability to save all of His people. So together we see the joining of representing us and power to save us, this God-man, Jesus Christ. How important these truths are for us to understand who he is and how he can save and does save. But then it comes to Calvary. Mighty when on Calvary dying, we then note in the hymn we sang earlier. And we see these things come together. We see him upon the cross, there in his humanity, there in his infinite power as God, there together receiving all the sins of his people and experiencing all the judgment of God upon them. Who can measure those things? Our sins have terrible depths, but Christ received it all, received all our sins and all the judgment. We don't know a fraction of it, the vileness of our sins and our hearts. Sometimes we see a glimpse of it and we're shocked by it, but God sees our hearts and what atrocities we could commit if our sins were let loose. Praise God, that's not the case very often. But those who are terrible, famous, infamous sinners should be a warning to us. There goes my heart. As you see those terrible examples in history, there goes my heart. And God, in Christ Jesus, went to the cross. And there he died and took the full punishment of sin. It had to be death. And it had to be the death of deaths as well. And there he died for sinners. And everyone who believes in him shall be saved from all their sins. Such a complete, wonderful truth, isn't it? From all our sins. We don't have to worry about one of them escaping. None shall escape. His infinite power holds them all. See the security in who he is and what he did. Anybody else, we could not trust them to do the work. He is God himself, and he holds us in his hands and saves us, and there brings us to God. And this great miracle, the sinners like ourselves can be brought into the light of God and the brightness of God and his presence. It's a miracle of miracles, is it not? It is wonderful that we should know God and know him forever. Oh, blessedness of blessedness, how wonderful it is that we might know God, that you in your soul who are Christians this morning shall be with God forever, and those who are not Christians can believe and enter this eternity of God and the glory, and to know your Maker and your Saviour, and your Maker and Creator. As John Newton said, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. That's gospel language, is it not? Do you have gospel language in your heart? Are you truly evangelical in your soul? Do you know that you are a sinner and saved by the grace of God? That is where you must come if you are not a Christian, to come to this place. Amazing grace to save a wretch like me, as John Newton said. And John Bunyan, the famous writer, said, grace abounding to the chief of sinners. There's gospel language. Chief of sinners, but grace abounding. I think John Newton said himself that he was failing in his faculties, and I know two things. I know that I'm a great sinner, and I know that Christ is a great Savior. And there we have the match. We have the match for our sins in Jesus Christ. He's a great Savior. Yes, you are a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior. Do not doubt it. Do not doubt it. Do not say my sin is too great for the Savior. You do not know him, his greatness, his power. He is match for your sin, and it will take away all your sin and the judgment on the cross of Calvary. He came to Bethlehem in order to go to Calvary. And so, my dear friend, you are confronted this Christmas with greatness. For those here in our midst, our dear friends here, our brothers and sisters in mankind, our dear friends, just note, you're confronted with greatness. He shall be great. The great prophet, the great high priest, the King of kings, is great in his person and mighty in his dying. Then acknowledge him in your heart and believe in him and be saved, as the scriptures say, with so great salvation. So great salvation. Oh, that you might see it. so great salvation. As we sang, great my Jesus in his person, great as God and man is he, great is comeliness and beauty, white and ruddy, fair to see. Mighty Christ from time eternal, mighty he man's nature takes, mighty when on Calvary dying, mighty death itself he breaks. Mighty was he in heaven's purpose, mighty in the pledge to save, mighty from his birth to Calvary, mighty bursting from the grave. See his might infinite, still will he mighty be. Great thy sight, sovereign might. Shall we pray? O our Father, we do ask for those who have no Savior to come to this so great salvation, to know the greatness of Christ and also the greatness of salvation, all to the glory of God. We pray these things in him, our blessed Saviour. Amen.